All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, Professor Bob Harvey, all the way from sunny Charlotte, North Carolina. Professor Harvey, before we went to break, you were explaining, as I asked you, you initially explained why Russia is so touchy about, you know, their border situation, and you mentioned Sweden and Finland, who are now openly saying that they want to join NATO, even though
that's right.
Months ago they were totally opposed to it. But
sure.
So if you're Russia and you are watching what is taking place, you know, around them, and NATO, led by the United States, is making these moves. If you are Putin, understanding or believing why that America and NATO is encroaching in their territory?
Well, you know, Earl, it one of the things, and I was sitting here, you know, talking about the Baltic states. The key are the Baltic states, Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. On March 29th of 2004, this was under the Bush administration. Those, you know, three Baltic states, they all, you know, joined NATO. And if you take a look at a map, and you really have to have, for those people who don't really understand it, I mean, I've taught maps for so many years that I, you know, I've got a lot of it built in my head. And understanding World War II, which is one of the areas that I focus a lot of my my academic career on, and teaching military history, you learn to appreciate the map of Europe. You can see how those countries in Europe are scrambling. You know, especially in Central and Eastern Europe, scrambling right now to join NATO, because one of the things that led to World War II, if you remember, in 1939 when Germany invaded Poland, that triggered. They didn't do a whole lot when they should have in Czechoslovakia in 1938. But when they went into Poland, England and France had already signed a pact with Poland. And that's what drove England and France to join Poland. They didn't have the military wherewithal to either by air, sea, or land to come in and aid Poland, because you had to go through the Baltic Sea and the seas and the whole bit, and they didn't have the necessary means to get to them. But they did declare war, and they did start coming up with ways to try to get in, to give them moral support, including allowing the leadership of Poland to flee to England to, you know, to set up their satellite government. But the central fact is that they learned a lesson from that. And when I first heard about the conflict 3 months ago, that's when I came to realize that I wanted to send in an airborne brigade or whatever, or armored brigade. But the thing is, you got to go through countries like Poland and like Germany, like Romania, Hungary, and if they don't allow you to come in and so you can support them, you're going to send them boys and girls in there and get them cut off and get them wiped out. And you don't want to make that mistake. Remember, in 1921.
So you mean you're talking about America sending ground troops into Ukraine?
Sending ground troops. That's the only way you stop a bully. That's the only way you do it. You know, remember, Earl, that the tragedy that happened in World War One. See, there are plenty of lessons to be taught here. And when Germany started becoming abrasive in World War One. The thing that everybody talked about to keep Germany from acting up was the creation of the League of Nations. The League of Nations was created at the close of World War One to make sure we halted German aggression. And the United States never joined for several various reasons, but we didn't join. And everybody referred to the League of Nations as the armless cop, that it didn't have any teeth, that the French and the English and the rest of them had no stomach for fighting to prevent German aggression. And so when by 1936, when Germany started going into Alsace-Lorraine, taking back some of their lost territory, Hitler came to power in 32 and 33, and we stood by, and the League of Nations was worth this. And many people felt that if the United States had joined the League, and it was, keep in mind that the Republicans, not the same Republican Party of these Lundebergs we got right now in there, but the Republican Party of then was opposed to Woodrow Wilson and the United States joining the League. And their failure to join meant that we didn't have the ground forces necessary to stop it. Now, I've always believed that from a military standpoint, that the only way to stop an aggressor is to stand up to him and punch him in the mouth. You know, but when you can't do that because of restrictions and trepidations on the part of your allies and for the conditions on the ground, then you're faced with the dilemma that a bully is going to push as far as he can until somebody punches him in the mouth. Now, everybody's talking about Putin threatening to use nuclear weapons. Putin is not stupid. Why is he not going to do that? Because at least 60 to 70% of Russian oil reserves are committed to providing that resource, valuable resource, to the European market. Now, you launch a nuclear war and destroy all of those countries and everything around there, your economic power is gone. Putin is not totally stupid. He just knows that he's going to push this thing as far as he can. And unfortunately, the United States, under both Bush, Obama, Trump, and now Biden, all of them had their hands tied. Not so much because they would not have committed troops to that conflict, but because their allies don't have the stomach for it. And I think that's I'm just being honest with you from my standpoint, because if anybody that would scare the hell out of Putin is Germany, because Germany twice in the 20th century raised its ugly head and took on and inflicted heavy damage on the Soviet Union. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it. And Europe has always been caught up in conflict. What Putin is doing right now is ethnic cleansing, because look what he's doing in Ukraine, bombing hospitals and the whole bit. That's the atrocities of war on the Eastern Front. They've always been that way. And everybody talks about Hitler being vicious. Stalin and Hitler were two of the greatest dictators in world history.
Well, Professor Harvey, what about what Russia is doing and saying right now and accusing America of the proxy war? And there's no question we're in the proxy war. I mean, they're 100% correct, but they're also
look what they did to the United States in Vietnam. The United States won 96% of the damn combat operations in Vietnam, but we didn't fight 100% war, and the politicians ran the damn war instead of let the soldiers and the generals fight it and win it. So the end results were we didn't engage in total war. Now our kids were being trained. I know because I was a drill sergeant, and understanding how you train soldiers, we were trained them to fight a conventional war, and we turned around and ended up, trying to fight a guerrilla war and a limited war because we were afraid of China and Russia. Look at Korea. MacArthur wanted to go all the way, to take over North Korea, too, but we were worried about the Chinese. We didn't think it was going to happen. And what happened? The Chinese came across the border and expanded the war in Korea, so we ended up with a truce there.
So, Professor Harvey, hang on, Professor Harvey. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.